from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Nicole Agresco with the news on this Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine's application for $456 million in federal funds to help construct a wind port has been rejected by U.S. transportation officials. But Governor Janet Mills' administration and ocean wind power advocates say, despite the setback, the project is still worth pursuing. Peter McGuire has more.
The state's planned Sears Port facility was not among 44 infrastructure projects funded with over $4 billion from the U.S. Department of Transportation. State officials applied for the grant this spring to develop state land on Sears Island for the port. It would be the first East Coast facility capable of deploying floating offshore wind turbines into the Gulf of Maine. Francis Eanes with the Maine Labor Climate Council says a port remains critical to the state's clean energy future.
Today's news has not changed the fact that we need a port to create good union jobs, power our economy with affordable, clean, homegrown energy, and protect our coasts and communities from the worst impacts of climate change.
State Transportation Commissioner Bruce Van Note acknowledges Maine's application was ambitious. He says the state will move ahead with the project and look for other funding opportunities. The Federal Transportation Department says it received 200 applications requesting more than $27 billion from the grant program. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Portland City Councilors have approved a year-long needle buyback program that will pay people 5 cents for each used syringe that's returned to the city, with a $10 daily limit. Dr. Kevin Sullivan with Greater Portland Health treats patients at the city's municipal homeless shelter.
I think the syringe exchange program, buyback program, is a proven mechanism to reduce needle waste. It also empowers those who might otherwise not have access to an income to be able to care for themselves and to provide for themselves.
In addition to the new buyback, Portland currently distributes as many as 100 clean needles for every used one returned, complying with a state law that was changed 2 years ago. Last night, the council also rejected a proposal from Mayor Mark Dion, which would have returned to a one-to-one exchange ratio. Opioid settlement funds will pay for the new exchange. And Portland Mayor Mark Dion has issued an apology for his vote to divest city affairs from companies doing business with Israel. Dion made a brief announcement at the beginning of last night's city council meeting, saying that he regretted his vote. The city of Portland does not have any direct funds to divest. And city councilors and Dion himself said at the time of last month's vote that the resolution was largely symbolic and a way to send a message.
Since passage of the resolution, I've come to realize that all it did accomplish was to marginalize Portland's Jewish community.
Dion says that municipal government should not take a stand on foreign policy matters and that his divestment vote was wrong. Roughly one quarter of all Maine voters have requested absentee ballots ahead of next month's elections. Kevin Miller reports.
As of Tuesday afternoon, more than 258,000 registered voters had requested absentee ballots from their local election clerks. Maine has just shy of 1 million active voters, so that means one out of every four has opted to utilize the state's, quote, no-excuse process for casting a ballot early. Democrats have consistently voted absentee at higher rates than other voters in Maine, and that remains true this election cycle. More than 45% of the requests so far this fall come from Democrats, who represent about 36% of the registered voters in Maine. But efforts to encourage early voting by state GOP officials and the Trump campaign may be having an impact. The number of registered Republicans requesting absentee ballots is slightly higher this fall than during Maine's hotly contested gubernatorial election 2 years ago. Voters have until Halloween to request an absentee ballot. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Two people have died and two others hospitalized following a carbon monoxide leak in a home in Freedom. The Freedom Volunteer Fire Department received a call at around 6 o'clock this morning about a propane leak at the home. Firefighters then discovered it was actually a carbon monoxide leak caused by a disconnected heater exhaust system. Freedom Fire Chief James Waterman says there were 5 adults in the home when firefighters arrived this morning. 2 were pronounced dead. Waterman says the home was raided previously in May for being an illegal marijuana growing operation. Waterman says there was no evidence that the growing operation had resumed at the site. Treehouse Foods has recalled dozens of frozen waffle products due to potential listeria contamination. The announcement comes on the back of other recalls of frozen meals and deli meats from Fresh Creative Foods last week. Ben Metcalf with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry says listeria is more challenging than some other common foodborne pathogens.
Being the pathogen that it is, it's the only pathogen out of all the foodborne illness pathogens that are out there that actually grows and reproduces at refrigeration temperatures.
To limit listeria infections, Metcalf recommends consumers follow the 7-day lose or use rule for products most prone to listeria growth. He says products that never reach a cook-to-kill temperature, such as prepared meals, deli meats, and soft cheeses, are the ones to be most wary of. A number of students were injured in a school bus accident this morning in the town of Minot. None of the injuries were life-threatening. According to RSU 16 officials, the bus went off the road and into a ditch near the Minot Consolidated School. Minot Fire and Rescue Chief Jeffrey Burt says first responders evaluated 17 students, but none of the injuries were serious enough to require ambulance transportation.
There was no life-threatening injuries, and no one was transported by any of the ambulances. They just conducted on-scene care.
Burt says some students may have been taken by their families to local hospitals, but he didn't have further details. The rest of the students were either released to family members or transported to the school. In a social media post, district officials say staff from United Ambulance are continuing to monitor students at school. The number of North Atlantic right whales increased slightly last year, bringing the population count to more than 370 individuals. But a new report from the New England Aquarium and the North Atlantic Right Whale Consortium offers a cautionary tale. A handful of newly born calves have disappeared and died this year. And Philip Hamilton, a senior scientist for the aquarium, says that 5 right whales have died from vessel strikes and entanglements with fishing gear.
We're not doing as well as this little bump would indicate, given what we've seen happen in 2024. And both what we know has happened and what the potential impact of using other habitats more than they have recently.
Hamilton says more right whales were spotted this year in the Bay of Fundy, a historically important feeding ground until about 2019. And large aggregations of right whales were seen this year near busy maritime shipping lanes off New York, where there are fewer speed restrictions for vessels. If you thought yesterday and today felt like beach days, you weren't wrong. Temperatures across the state soared well into the 70s and beyond. And as Molly Enking reports, several records were broken.
Temperatures in the city of Portland reached 78 degrees, breaking the previous record of 70 set on the same day back in 1979, according to the National Weather Service. And if that seems like a warm October day in Maine, the town of Fryeburg was even hotter. The high temperature there was 80 degrees at the regional airport, surpassing the previous record of 75 degrees. One of the places that smashed the previous high record on Monday was in Wiscasset, which recorded 79 degrees, 9 degrees higher than the previous National Weather Service record of 70. Augusta and Bangor also broke or matched records, and the warm weather continued Tuesday with highs reaching 70 in some places. But be prepared for things to cool off later in the week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the power of music to bridge our divides and connect us. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.